Welcome to the Southside Community Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Hahn. We are located at 1815 South P Street in Elwood, Indiana. Visit us on Facebook. The link will be in the description below. Have a great day.
I want to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And then we'll read the first 25 verses there. And it says here, "As for much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theopas." I want to tell you something here this morning. I looked at that verse. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's not man's word. Okay? I want you to remember that. Men wrote the Scripture. They wrote the words in our Bibles today and interpreted them. But they did it through what God told them to write down. The power of the Holy Spirit moved upon them. And when the Spirit came upon them and God was in it, God told them what to record and how to write it and what to write. It's very important that we know the truth. Amen. The Bible is truth. It's God's word. It's inspired by God. Amen. And the disciples were eyewitnesses of Christ when he came and all that he'd done. Amen. And the Spirit bared witness with them. This is Christ. This is the divine Son of God. Now Luke, he didn't see all these miracles and things. He was told about. So he recorded them and he kept them. And that's another amazing thing. How they recorded things and passed them down to us. Huh? They never had no technology whatsoever. Just wrote it on a piece of paper. God said, write it down and pass it on. Pass it on. Amen. But it's very important that we know the truth. Amen. And it said, the Bible said that the truth shall set us free. And it said that it seemed good, or let me drop down to the fourth verse. That thou mayest know the certainty, listen, of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. What I'm telling you, O Theopas, is the truth. Amen. I got it firsthand. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well stricken in years. And it came to pass, while he executed his priestly office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answered and said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb," you'll be mute, not able to talk, "to speak until the days, till the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he had come out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray, God, for your help this morning. We realize, Lord, that we cannot preach without your help, without the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us. Open our eyes, Lord, and our hearts this morning to this passage of Scripture, Lord. Help us to see, God, what you want us to see today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So at this time, it says that there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah. Okay? Now, the Bible has the prophets, and the prophets tell the future of what's going to happen. Okay? And the scripture, it has been fulfilled. And the scripture of Jesus after his birth and after his death and resurrection, all that was fulfilled. Amen? And the prophets told, just what was going to happen. Amen? And they told about Jesus was going to become the Christ child was coming. The Jews called him the Messiah. Huh? And he was going to come in into the world to save the world. Huh? He was going to be from the seed of Abraham. Amen. He was going to be from the tribe of Judah. Huh? And he was going to be born of a virgin. Amen. Huh? was what he was going to be born of a woman, my friend, that was a virgin. And it all came to pass. Huh? But for 400 years, think about that. Huh? I think we as a nation has been around, what, close to 300? 2-something? 270, 280, whatever it is. Huh? 400 years, the people of Israel, huh, have never heard any more prophecy. It was a dark time, huh, for the people of Israel. Amen. There was no preacher, really. There was no word of God. No prophecy of the future. And they put Herod, King Herod, in as king of Israel. Now listen to me. Huh? There was prophesied in Genesis, huh, that the scepter of the king, huh? Anyways, the king's position, my friend, it'll come to pass one of these days when they'll put a king over Israel that's not even a Jewish person. All right? He's not of the Jews. And Herod was a Roman. Huh? And they put him in power over the Jews. Huh? And it said when this comes to pass, look up, a Savior's coming. Amen. And I thought about that, church. And I thought about, we're living in a time of danger. We're living in a time of perversion. And there's so much corruption. And there's so much sin on every side, my friend. And I think about that. Huh? And I think about Christ coming back. Huh? The time, listen, church, is getting right. You better have your heart and your soul right with Him. Amen. He's coming soon. Huh? Praise God. It was a dark time in Israel. Very dark. And God said it's time. I tell you this morning, hallelujah, I'm glad He's in charge. Amen. He knows the timing. He knows what to do and how to do it. He's God. It's time. I'm going to reveal my plan, huh, to men. And it's going to take place. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's the plan this morning, huh? The plan was to have a forerunner to go before Jesus and clear the path and prepare the hearts of the people. Amen. Here it is. Said here, and there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord, blameless. I want to tell you something. You don't get any more holier, huh? Any more, how can I say it? I don't even know what word to say. Any more of the Jewish descent, huh, than being in the priestly office, huh, in the temple for the Jews. He was a very high respected, and I want to tell you something. He had to be right and upright, or he'd have never held this position where he was. Huh? But he come from a family of priests. Listen to me. Huh? He come from a family of priests, and so did Elizabeth. Her father was a priest. Huh? So they were God's people. They were chosen. People. They live for God. And listen, my friend, huh? That's who God's going to use. Amen. They sold out to Him, my friend. Huh? They still believed in the Messiah was coming. praise God. Think about that. John's father, Zacharias, was a priest. And his mother was a daughter of a priest. Huh? I want to tell you something this morning, man. I think about this stuff. And you know what? It said they were blameless. People, that knew them, seen their lives, and they couldn't tell, and they had they couldn't see anything in their lives that was wrong. And God couldn't see anything either in their eyes. That they done it, or that they were wrong, and you could blame, or you could hold something here. Well, this is what they done to so and so, and this is what they had been living like. Huh? But none of it was all blameless before God, huh? It said, they were rail stricken in years, They were old people, I don't know how old they was. But it said they were old people, And they were well up in age. And it said that the scripture said that Elizabeth was barren, She was sterile, could not have any children. It wasn't going to happen, And not only that, she had that against her, but she was well past childbearing age. Amen. Then now listen, Praise God this morning, humanly speaking, there's no way this is going to happen. You hear me? And I'll tell you, hallelujah, I'm glad we're serving a God, that makes the impossible possible this morning. Amen. He can turn everything around. He can do anything that He wants. Amen. Praise God. And I tell you what, it's just like the story, here this morning. It's just like it was with Abraham and Sarah. I tell you what, God came, you know the story, how God came and told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to bear a son, my friend, and you're going to call his name Isaac. That's who he's going to be named. And I tell you, Sarah heard the Lord and she laughed. And God said, thou hast laughed. And she tried to deny it and said, no, I haven't laughed. Because she thought it was funny. Because she was 90 years old when she bare Isaac. And Abraham was 100. What's the possibilities? Humanly speaking, it'll never happen. God said you did laugh. You did laugh. I tell you what, Sarah bleed. She bleeds when you read that part of the scripture.
Right.
So be it. I know it'll happen. She bore the child Isaac at 90 years old. You know who Isaac was? He was the promised seed. That Christ would come from. Amen. I know sometimes it's hard to grasp this. It's hard to understand it. My friend, just take it as a little child and believe it. It's God's word. Amen. And they were stricken in years, old in age. She had this against her. Amen. And it came to pass, my friend. It said, and it came to pass that he executed the priestly office. In other words, he was doing his duty before the order of God and his, according to the custom of the priest office, and his lot was to burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of people were praying without the time of incense. Amen. I want to tell you something this morning.
the angel came to Jerusalem. That's the city of God. You hear me? Even today, over there in Israel, Jerusalem is the city of God. Jesus is coming back one of these days, and He'll be over there in Jerusalem. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. It's the divine city of God here on earth. And He came to the temple, the holy temple of God. He knew where to come, didn't He? And I'll tell you what, He knew who to go see also. A priest that was called of God in a duty. He was the only one. The priest was. They were the only ones that could walk in, remove the curtain and walk into the holy place. No one else was allowed in there. Amen? Or you die. If you went in there, because God had blocked it off. Amen. Only the priest. And he went in there, and his job was to burn those incense. Listen to me. There was a little table, I think it was about 3 by 4 feet square. And it said that that's where they burnt the incense in the temple. And all in all four corners, my friend, were horns on that little altar where he burnt the incense. You ever heard of where you heard about people grabbing hold of the horns of the altar and praying until they got through? That's what it was about. That was an example and a symbol. Hold on to the horns of the altar. Amen. For God comes and changes your life. Anyway, he went in there to burn those incense. And it said, that the incense that he burned were for a purpose. The people were praying outside the temple. Not outside the temple, but outside the holy place, in the part of the church, the temple, where they were supposed to pray. And it was an hour of prayer. They burnt the incense in the morning for about a half hour, and in the evening for about a half. It burned continually, but that's when they performed their duties. Amen. So he's in there. He's going to be in there about a half hour. That's what they're estimating. But I tell you what, that sweet smelling odor that was coming up and going up to the skies, to the heavens, it represented the people's prayer, who were praying outside. Outside in the sanctuary, we'll say, of the temple. But I want to tell you what it represented. It was one of the most sacred places in the holy place. They estimated, and I read, that it was one of them that was just, I guess it was just spectacular, and there was a reason for this, and the reason was that Jesus Christ, it represented Jesus Christ as the high priest. You hear me? He's our high priest this morning. And he's in the temple of God now. He's sitting on the throne. But listen, it represents Christ and His intercession for man. His intercession for you and I this morning. I tell you what, He is in there. Christ is on the throne. Listen to me. Right now, making intercession for me and you. He's praying for us. He's going to the Father. He knows what we're experiencing. He's been through it. And it represents Christ, the great high priest. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I know today you're struggling with so many things, but I tell you what, we got a God that can do anything. Yes. Amen. There's power in His blood this morning. Amen. I tell you what, yeah, we might not get healed from all of our diseases,
We might not get healed from all of our physical problems, huh? And all the trouble we go through, the cancer that John's got, the cancer that Rick has, huh? We might not get healed of those things. But I'll tell you what will get healed. Amen. That's our soul and our spirit. Because that's what matters. That's the only thing that's eternal. This body's going to dissolve and go away and turn back to dust. But thank God, my friend, our soul is going to live forever with Christ. Amen. We'll get a new body. Praise God. Amen. A spiritual body, huh? Like Christ had when He rose from the grave. So don't get discouraged. Listen. Huh? When you still feel bad and you're still going through physical problems. Huh? I've had the same problem all of my life. I go through it every day. Amen. Huh? I wish it was gone. And I know I have a faith. I know God could take it away just like that. Huh? But it's not my call. My call is to be faithful. Mm-hmm. Huh? And trust in Him and live through it. Huh? And let Him supply the grace that I need to make it through each day. And He will. Amen. Mm-hmm. The world's tough. It's a tough world to live in. Amen. Well, I know I'm just going to get through half of this. We'll do the finish it up next week. And then he said here, huh? He said, there appeared an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Amen. So think about this. Huh? How many times has Zacharias came in to the holy place in the temple and lit the incense? Huh? I'll tell you what, his heart was in it, my friend. And then all of a sudden, this day, my friend, there's an angel standing beside the altar of incense. Huh? And he sees this angel and he's scared and terrified, my friend. At first he thought he'd seen a vision. But I want to tell you, my friend, it was not a vision. That angel was right there. And he looked him eye to eye. Amen. Praise God for that, huh?
I'm so glad for these stories. This is the first step. Huh?
Christ coming. Amen. Into the world. It was God's plan. John the Baptist. Listen, Zacharias. You prayed, my friend, ever since you and Elizabeth had gotten married and become a couple. All these years you prayed for a son and you never got a son. Huh? And now, all this time and for quite a few years now, as you've gotten older, it kind of just passed away because in your mind, you knew that it wasn't going to happen. But listen to me. Huh? The Lord has heard my prayer and answered. Woo! I thank God for that. I'm glad God answers prayer on His time. Because He knows when to do it. Amen. How to do it. Huh? And He said there, huh? He said, thy prayer is heard and answered. Huh? And you're going to have a son. You know what? You're going to name him John. I want to tell you something. God named three boys into Scripture. Huh? He named Isaac, He named John, and He named Jesus. Right. Huh? The parents didn't have, they never had any say-so on what their child was going to be named. God already named them. Amen? Mm-hmm. He told him that. Huh? He said, this is what he said. This is John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Amen. and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled. Listen to this. This is so wild. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Amen? And I want to tell you something, huh? We got that, huh? In the last part of this chapter, when Mary come, huh? And greeted her, and her salutation to Elizabeth, the scripture said the babe leaped in her womb.
Amen? And Elizabeth was full of the Holy Ghost.
We're going to get into that later,
probably next week. Amen?
Filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, he came for a purpose. Amen? Huh? And many of the children of Israel, listen, he shall turn to the Lord their God. Remember, it's dark, it's sinful, it's a bad time to be living and being an Israelite. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And listen to me, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. John the Baptist's job, what God had called him to do, huh, is go out and preach to the Israelite people, the Jews, prepare yourself, huh, because the Messiah is coming. The divine Son of God, huh, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he's coming. And John went out with the Holy Spirit on him, and he was loaded, huh? And he preached, huh, in the power of Elias, the old prophet, my friend. I'll tell you what, John, when he preached, they listened. Huh? When he preached about Jesus and preached about preparing their hearts, huh, for the coming of Jesus, my friend, the people listened to him. They knew, my friend. Listen, remember, it's dark, and there hasn't been any prophets for a long time, my friend. And when John came, my friend, they listened to him. They haven't. It's been a long time. Listen, it's been a few generations before he really had a true preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
They listened to John, huh? And it said, their hearts were turned to him, believing that the Messiah was coming. See, they didn't know Jesus yet. He hasn't come on the scene. But he turned their hearts. Huh? You know, those high up Jews, huh, the ones that followed the law, huh, that really, they really never had no salvation in their soul. Jesus told us about them in another part of Scripture. Huh? They sent people out to John, sent their servants out to John, said, "Who are you? Who are you? What are you preaching? Huh?" John told them. They said, Are you Elias that rose from the dead? Are you the Christ that was supposed to come? Or the Messiah?" That's what they was. There was no Christ. Are you the Messiah that was supposed to come? Huh? John said, "No. I'm one crying in the wilderness. Prepare your way for the Lord, for he's coming." I'm going to tell you something. Up to date, give us preachers. Give us men of God that will preach the truth. That will not salt and sugarcoat and water things down. But give us men that will preach the truth to stir and shake the souls of people. And get them prepared for the second coming of Christ.
Amen.
Amen? That's what's going to happen. Give us those men. Give us those evangelists, my friend, that would go out like John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Spirit, and preach what God wants them to preach. Amen. And bring the gospel and tell them to be ready for an hour when you think not, the Son of Man comes. Amen. I don't know, church. I know we're living in a different church age and a different time. my friend.
I want to tell you, there's a lot of big churches. Nothing wrong with big churches. But there's a lot of places today, it's more for entertainment than it is about worshiping God. More to entertain the people, instead of bringing the truth that we're preaching about this morning. Amen. Preparing men's hearts for this coming. Nobody wants to offend anybody anymore. Nobody wants to say anything that will offend them or turn them away. Amen. We got to preach the truth. Amen. Amen. Because the truth will set us free. Let me hurry on here and I'm going to quit. It said here, that, and it said in the angel, now let me back up. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. In other words, he said, how am I going, how in the world am I going to believe what you just said? He told this angel Gabriel this. How am I going to believe what you just told me?
I'm interpreting it different what the scripture said. How am I supposed to believe that? My wife is well past childbearing age. I'm an old man. And not only that, she's barren.
And I want to tell you something.
I think Gabriel got a little bit mad at him. A little bit angry. Let's use angry. Got a little bit angry at him. Because he said this. He said, I am Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. Think about that position for just a minute. I am Gabriel. I am the messenger of God Himself. I stand in the holy heavens in His presence. That's who I am, Zacharias. And I flew down here to tell you what God wanted me to tell you. Amen. And this is the way it is. And this is God's plan. And I understand that you can't grasp it. But my friend, all things are possible with God. What God says, my friend, it'll be done and performed.
And just because of your unbelief,
you're dumb. You're mute. You're not going to be able to talk. You're not going to be able to say anything. For overnight, for 9 months, you won't be able to say a word. I bet Elizabeth was happy.
Amen. And she said, and he said, for you're mute because of your unbelief.
And he was. It happened. God shut his mouth and he couldn't talk. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. When God shut his mouth, I guarantee you he believed. He knew it was a real man. He knew what was going to happen. He knew exactly what the angel had told him was going to take place. You know why? He went on and performed his duty. All those days, weeks, or whatever it was, he went ahead and performed what he had to do. Couldn't talk to nobody, couldn't do anything, couldn't explain anything to him. But he went on about his duty until the time came, he was done, and then he went home. Amen. And those people, that they that were in the sanctuary, not in the holy place, but were in the sanctuary, knew something was up. Where is he at? My gosh, it's 45 minutes. It's an hour. What's going on? And he come out of the holy holies. And then when they looked at him, they could tell by his face, by his vision, that he had seen something. Something had taken place in that holy place that affected his vision and who he was. Do you remember Moses when he went up and got the Ten Commandments? He seen, and God was there. And he came down from the mount to where the people was. His face shines so bright. The glory of God was on him, and his face shines so bright that he had to wear a veil. Because the people couldn't look at it. Because the power of God was on him. Now that didn't happen here, but it reminded me of that. Praise God. It's going to happen, Zacharias. It's going to take place. And it did. It said here that they waited on him. And when he had came out, and he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto him, and I think that he tried to tell him something. He tried to bring something out, but he remained speechless. He couldn't talk. And it came to pass, and as soon as the days of his administration, his job was over with and accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men." I tell you what, he went home. And he couldn't talk. I tell you, this is my opinion. The tears were rolling down his eyes, rolling down his face. And he came into his home, and Elizabeth was there. And she gave him something to write on. What's going on? You can't talk. You can't speak to me. Here, write it down. He gets that tablet, that pen, and he writes down there on it. Hands it to her. And it's pretty long. It takes him a few minutes. He said, "I was in the temple today, and the angel Gabriel appeared unto me. At first, I didn't believe him. But now I believe him. He told me that my prayer, our prayer, that we pray for someone, has been answered. Has been answered, and you're going to bear a boy, a son, and we're going to call his name John." Could you imagine the rejoicing within you had here? And listen, you know, he's just not going to be an average boy like all these other boys, here where we live and in the neighborhood. But he's going to be John the Baptist. And he's going to go and prepare the way for the Messiah's coming. He's going to be a special child. And my friend, this community and the people of Israel are going to rejoice at his birth because he's special. And I'll tell you what. He told her, he said, "You and I were called to be part of that plan." I'm so thankful for that this morning, my friend. Let God use you today, my friend, to win the lost for Christ and be a testimony to this lost and dying world. Amen. Praise God. I got to quit. And John prepared the way. Amen. And Elizabeth went home and hid herself. See, in Bible times, barren women was ashamed. That was a reapproach. You know, and they believed that. And like Pam was telling, there's so many different beliefs and everything, and convictions. And their conviction was that she had done something wrong. She's guilty of something. She can't bear any children. That's how they looked at it. That was her reapproach. But you know what, people? That's not true. We got it this morning. The scripture said she was blameless. And God couldn't hold nothing against her. So you know what? There's only one result. There's only one answer now. It's a physical thing. Huh? It's a physical thing. But thank God, the impossible was made possible by God. God had a plan, and he's going to fulfill it in Zacharias and Elizabeth. Amen. And this is the first step to this great plan of salvation. God had it planned from the beginning of time. Amen. For there was any time, God knew what was going to take place.